Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
9:16, this is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm Connor McKnight. Barry Rosner is in for Dan. One more day for Barry before opening day. We've got the Cubs right here on 670 The Score. And we'll start things off this morning talking quite a bit of baseball. We are on the eve of opening day, Barry. And I don't know about you, but I am just jumping for joy. Cannot wait. But still, this one tomorrow feels different than the last handful for a number of different reasons for me. I wonder if it feels any different for you or if this is just yet another opening day, another notch in your prolific belt.
I love opening day. I mean, it just feels great. It's funny because you spend the winter waiting for it and you finally get to spring training, and I'm not a huge fan of spring training. Don't much care about
Ryan Zimmerman.
Well, I mean, you know, if you've been through enough of them, it's really kind of a waste of time.
Yes.
You really need about 3 weeks of spring training. But when you get in those final 2 weeks of spring training, you can smell the start of the actual baseball season. It's like, all right, let's go. Let's go. Real baseball.
We want to get going, too. You can get involved with the show on Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. You can email us, Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You can watch us live. We're streaming. You can watch Barry take down a coffee and a cigar, and I, too, will be here.
Maybe a croissant.
Definitely
I don't know. It's there. I don't know if it will happen,
you know, yesterday,
but it's there.
Is it the same croissant from yesterday?
No,
you didn't go croissant yesterday.
I threw that one out.
No leftover croissants for Barry. It's too good for that. You can watch the stream at watch670thescore.com. You can get on Facebook, too. Like the page and get involved with everything 670 The Score. Just find the 670 The Score Facebook page and go from there. We are individually on Twitter, too, at C1 McKnight. You can find Barry at Barry Rosner. Our producers this morning, Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. Guests today, and it is a long list. We were very guest-heavy toward the middle of the show, but plenty of time for you and your phone calls, 312-644-6767. You can text as well, 67011. Tom Keegan, who writes for the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com. He is, as we were mentioning with Molly and Hanley in Crosstalk in the transition there, he had the Loyola Ramblers as one of the teams, one of 16 teams before Selection Sunday, who could have a real shot at going deep and perhaps even winning the tournament.
Yeah, he had a list of teams he thought could possibly get to the Final Four, and he had Loyola on that list. That's before Selection Sunday?
It's a hell of a pick.
That's a pretty big pick.
10:40, we'll talk with Armin Kedian. He has the new Tiger Woods book. It is released yesterday. I've read a bit of it. We'll talk Tiger with him. In fact, we're going to get real golf-heavy in the 10 o'clock hour. Opening day has got a lot of excitement, but tomorrow is going to be even more baseball for us. And Barry, I can't let you out of the studio without having talked a little Masters and talked a little Tiger, so we will do that at 10:40, really in the 10 o'clock hour. Midday Midway at 11. Chris Ranji, perhaps you've heard of him, will join us at 11:40. We'll continue our sweep around the NL and AL Centrals. We'll talk Cardinals with him at 11:40. Len Casper, the television voice of the Cubs, joins us at noon. You've got two chances today to win $1,000 in cash. All you've got to do is listen for the keywords to text and to win. Opening day tomorrow,
You said it feels different.
It feels different for me. You know, I'm in a different spot than I was the last two seasons, and I know that happens for a lot of people. But more so than that, but for both the Cubs and the White Sox, we're in a place, I think, at least it feels to me, where the expectations have been laid out so clearly that the variance, the wonderment, we were talking about this with our division winners yesterday, with everyone's division winners yesterday. So much of what this season could be seems already written. Not going to be the way it plays out. We're going to have things change back. It never is, and that's the beauty of the whole thing. But the Cubs are entering year three of real expectation. 15 was, there were some expectations. Hey, look, this could be good. Chris Bryant's on his way. Kind of reached in a surprise.
They were ahead of schedule.
A bit of a surprise.
They were a year ahead of schedule.
You and I both talked.
But by 16, they were expected to win the World Series.
17, same thing, and here we go, 18.
Yeah.
same situation. The White Sox rebuild is well underway, and while it'll be real fun, I think, to watch some of these kids and find out which ones are going to be good, which ones are going to be great, which ones may fall off.
Sox are fascinating for a lot of reasons. For a lot of reasons. I
completely agree with you. And yet we seem to know, we seem to see the path laid out for us on both sides of town. It's not maybe you'll make a wild card, or maybe you'll do it. Maybe this whole team as a giant, you know, entity has some surprise in it. It really feels as though the tunnel has kind of been set, and now we just kind of got to ride down it, see what happens, find the surprises within it. It won't be the way it plays out. It never is.
No.
But that's kind of how it feels to me, and it hasn't dampened my excitement for it at all. It just has, I don't know, set the beginning, set the first step of the path on a little different pace than in years past.
So really, it sounds like the big change is on the south side, because the north side, the expectations are precisely the same as they were 1 year ago.
If not higher. If not higher, with the way they've set their rotation. I've got a little questions myself about that bullpen and Brandon Morrow and what's actually going to happen down there, but Joe's been able to manage some things, you know, throughout the course of a season, maybe not so much in the playoffs, but throughout a season and figure some things out. That lineup is what it is. It's going to hit. But yeah, I think on the south side, there's variance and there's development that we're going to watch. You're going to see good players get their heads beat in from time to time, and that could still be a good thing for them. You got to learn those lessons at that level.
I have something for you to watch this year.
Okay.
And It involves Jim Hickey, it involves Mike Borzello and Tommy Hotovy, and I take you back to a couple of weeks ago when Kyle Hendricks was talking about Mike Borzello and Tommy Hotovy, and he said that he basically informed Tyler Chatwood when he got here.
This is Hendricks.
That these are the guys that you need to be talking to. The thing with Borzello is you need to just understand his language first. You can't get inundated with too much. It snowballs really quick. Just get used to the language. Talk to Borzello. See his philosophies, what he thinks. And I've gotten Chatwood there now. He went on and on and on about Borzello and Hotovy, and about how these are the guys that Chatwood should be talking to. In this entire story, there's not one thing in here and not one place where the pitching coach is mentioned. This morning on Mully and Hanley, they talked to Jim Hickey, and Brian asked specifically about Mike Borzello.
When I get done with you, I'm heading into the ballpark where I'm going to meet up with Tommy Hotovy and Mike Borzello, and we've already talked about it. In the past, you know, I've been very comfortable doing the research, if you will, and disseminating the information. And I realize how things have worked here over the last couple of seasons, and I'm certainly not the one to fix something if it's not broken. And I really don't think that the system is broken right now. So I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm going to be very, very prepared. And I'm just going to go ahead and see how this plays out over the first couple of series. And if we have to make a couple of adjustments, we will. And if we don't, we won't. We'll just let it go the way that it's been.
I find that fascinating. I mean, call me a baseball dork, but
You
can only have one. Can only have one pitching coach on a team, and it sounds to me like Kyle Hendricks' pitching coach is some combination of Mike Borzello and Tommy Hotovy. And he pointed Tyler Chatwood to him, and here's Jim Hickey saying, "This isn't how I've done it before, but I'm willing to go with this to see how this works." And he used the phrase "until it doesn't." And he also said, if we have to make adjustments, then we'll make adjustments. I just, I think it's really interesting, and maybe I read too much into it, but when you have a guy in Chris Bosio who admittedly was rough around the edges and rubbed some people the wrong way, but was really successful here and won a World Series with many of the guys who remain here off of that staff. And now you make a big change, and Joe gets to bring in his guys. These are all his guys. This is
hand-picked.
This is all Joe. Well, anything goes wrong, this is all Joe. I mean, Theo made that very clear at his press conference the day after the season when he said, it's all up to Joe. You know, we want everybody back, but it's all up to Joe.
Right.
So anything goes wrong, it's on Joe Madden. So I find this dynamic really interesting.
It is interesting. I'm glad you brought it up because, as we think about Joe's skill sets, right? Where does he succeed where other managers have not or cannot? You know, what are the skill sets there that make him the guy? Remember, the Cubs let go of Ricky Renteria to move on to Joe Maddon, right? I mean, there was clearly something about him. A World Series title would certainly, you know, back up the decision to do so, but clearly something about him that's different than other managers.
Well, there's a lot of them. It's a long list. That skill set, there's a lot of things.
I mean, part of it is being able to build this consensus, right? Part of it is being able to understand, to accept, whether it's players who are very highly paid and need to take a bit of a back seat. Part of it is making sure that some of those, you know, Tommy La Stellas who don't want to go to AAA and maybe want to quit, getting those guys back into the fold and maybe interested in playing baseball again.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of it. I mean, his ability to communicate, his ability to massage, his ability to work personalities.
Get a great shiatsu.
Well, I mean, everybody's different, right? Some people have a knot in their lower back.
I got that one.
Some people have a bulging disc. Some people have
nightmare.
Scapula problems. You name it. Some people, it's cervical. Whatever. He has the ability to massage, and that's one of his greatest strengths. I don't know that I'd say he's a consensus builder. I think he's more along the lines of, this is my show, and we're going to do things the way I want to do it. I think one of the great misnomers is that Davey Martinez really had anything to do with anything. I mean, and they could find out quickly in Washington that he has no idea what he's doing, because Joe ran everything.
So fair point. I'm willing to debate the semantics of it, I guess. To a certain degree, though, Joe has shown the ability to let things kind of play out in front of him and massage guys back into roles that he needs them in. I don't know whether that translates to Jim Hickey and his working with Porzello and Hottovy. It certainly, I mean, the way we've kind of set things up today, it certainly needs to, right? I mean, if Hickey's willing to lay back in the cut and let things happen the way they've happened, then when he takes over, if he does indeed take over that process, what was it? Describe again, because the words I think he used to describe the process he's not going to involve himself in versus when he takes it over, I think are fairly interesting.
Well, we'll have Rick play it again in just a second, okay. But here's Kyle Hendricks. It's like a whole new world. This is speaking to Chatwood about Borzello and Hottovy. It's like a whole new world. Your eyes light right up. You can talk about it as much as you want. You can see it on film, on the computer, but when you do it and commit to it and throw it and see the result, then you know you have it. Mm. That's pitching coach language.
It is.
Okay?
It is.
I mean, Mike Borzello is officially Cubs catching and strategy coach. Hottovy is coordinator of advanced scouting and run prevention, but he's an old Theo guy from Boston, and these two guys are heavily involved in what the pitchers do and in the conversations, not just with pitchers, but with catchers and with game planning and with advanced scouting. They're all a part of it. And Rick, if you want to play it again, it sounds to me like, at least for the moment, he's willing to sort of sit back and watch and let these guys do what they've done.
When I get done with you, I'm heading into the ballpark where I'm going to meet up with Tommy Hottovy and Mike Borzello, and we've already talked about it. In the past, you know, I've been very comfortable doing the research, if you will, and disseminating the information, and I realize how things have worked here over the last couple of seasons, and I'm certainly not the one to fix something if it's not broken, and I really don't think that the system is broken right now, so I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm going to be very, very prepared, and I'm just going to go ahead and see how this plays out over the first couple of series, and if we have to make a couple of adjustments, we will, and if we don't, we won't. We'll just let it go the way that it's been.
I'm not suggesting there's a problem. Please understand me. I'm not saying there's any sort of a problem, but I've seen it. I mean, I've covered enough teams close up to know that egos get involved, and if there's any sort of a hiccup, there could be significant change in the way that they do things.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get to knowin'. Barry, a lot of Cubs talk to begin our morning. We will switch over to the tournament in a couple. Tom Keegan, who a buddy of yours, old friend, Lawrence Journal World and KU Sports, has been covering the Kansas Jayhawks all year. We'll check in on the other side of the Final Four with him.
Covered the Cubs for a couple of years when I was there for something called the National.
Ah.
Which I don't know if you were even alive when the National was in existence.
I believe I would have. No, I'd have to look it up.
It's like, what, 1989?
Oh, no, then I was alive. Then I was alive. Yep. We spent a lot of time, Barry, yesterday, quickly before we go to break and bring in Tom Keegan on the other side. We spent a lot of time yesterday knocking MLB for their advanced media and how they've made it difficult for people who want to watch games to watch games.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in that. I really do. But I'll give credit where credit's due and when MLB deserves it, especially when they kind of advance the nuance, the cool stuff they let happen. This was the Boston
Connor,
Red Sox.
You're not going anywhere in the radio business if you give credit where it's due.
No, I'm going to...
And get off of your narrative.
You know...
Stick with your narrative, beat the living hell out of it, and don't allow anyone ever to change your mind on anything.
All right, well, credit where credit's due... The Boston Red Sox played the Chicago Cubs just the other day, and this is Mookie Betts, who's he was mic'd up in right field
yesterday.
For the Red Sox. Yesterday. What did I say? I meant yesterday. So he's mic'd up. Ball goes out to right field. He's participating in the broadcast.
Chris Bryant at the plate.
And we see this.
It wasn't a walk-off. You didn't just drop the mic and walk off knowing that this is a strike and I'm done.
I wanted to, but because, yeah, I mean, it's etiquette, you know,
right.
Bowling etiquette. You can't...
Right. Uh-oh. There you go.
I ain't getting this one, boys.
Get on your horse. Don't miss the cutoff.
That's fabulous.
It really is fabulous.
I ain't getting this one, boys.
I'm not getting it. Not hap. Live, in the play, in the moment. You know, I started to think, you know,
what's the harm in that?
Nothing. That's the cool behind-the-scenes stuff that they're able to do with some of those broadcasts. Spring training, you get to try all sorts of weird stuff, right, and figure out if it works. And I thought, man, this is really cool. That's just an awesome little piece of, you know, he gets to be involved in the well, they could never do it in regular season, right? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I mean.
Honestly, I started to think about it. You could do it in the regular season.
You couldn't with an infielder.
No.
You couldn't with a catcher or a pitcher or one of the base coaches. There's too much going on. It actually could be dangerous. But could do it with one of the corner outfielders. I wouldn't do it with a center fielder. You could do it with somebody in the dugout.
You absolutely could.
You'd have to warn people to watch what they say, but
which would be difficult.
But it's fun. What happens in the dugout is fun. It's like it's a damn fraternity house.
Yes, and I'm just saying, you know, you're going to get reaction to this blowback. Well, he's not concentrating on the game. No, it's not true at all.
And you know what that player
always has the option to do if they're mic'd up. You know what they can do? Not talk. They could just shut it down.
Turn the mic off, pull the earpiece out.
Broadcasters are going to understand that. Yeah. The viewing public is going to understand that. There are so many cool ways that sport can allow you behind the curtain, inside the lines, that others can't.
Yeah, and what is more appealing than that? People are always desperate to find out what really happens. I'll tell you later a funny story about the Bears and how much they worry about those things, but... It's a shame because the more you let people in, the more entertaining it is, the more interested they are in your product. So it's a good call on your part. Shame on you for skewing the narrative of yesterday.
I will continue.
And allowing yourself to give someone credit for something.
I will continue to give credit where credit is due, although I still want Rob Manfred to allow everyone to watch the baseball games that they'd ask to pay for.
Can't be done.
Hey, Rob, I'd like to pay for this. Can I have it?
No,
but I'll take your money.
Yeah,
anyway.
We want your money, but sorry, we're not going to give you anything for it.
Switch gears a little bit when we come back. Tom Keegan of the Lawrence Journal World will check in about the Final Four. He's been doing some good work on the Kansas Jayhawks, who are yet again in another Final Four. He's Barry Rosner. I'm Connor McKnight. It's Bernstein and McKnight here on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Clayton Custer, point guard for the Loyola Ramblers. Although I think Dan Patrick, for some reason, called him Clayton the Bracket Buster Cluster during the show yesterday. I'm not sure if that was a joke going on or whatever, but Clayton's... Get his name right. We got to get your name right.
At this point, I think it only fair.
It's one of four point guards left.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you've got to do. He's Barry Rosner. I'm Connor McKnight. Talk a little hoops here. Tom Keegan of the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com will join us in just a second. And I've been really interested to watch the other side of this bracket as much as Loyola and Michigan. It's been kind of fun to watch. It was definitely fun to watch that Duke and Kansas team go at each other the way they did. And really, Kansas, and we'll ask Tom about this in a few, but Kansas did almost everything they could to give that thing away late, if not for a step in three, a total breakdown by Duke, tie that thing up, go to overtime, and then Malik Newman just absolutely took over the game.
Yeah, it was really entertaining game, though. You know, some of the, I mean, and I would say among the better played games, really, that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. In any case, it is time to go out to the Score Hotline, where we are joined by Tom Keegan, who covers Kansas basketball for the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com. He's a columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Keegan, LJW, and you can hear him right now on 670 The Score. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Outstanding. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. We referenced earlier a piece you wrote before Selection Sunday. Before Selection Sunday, you came up with some teams that might be good enough to reach the Final Four.
And to win it all, actually.
Actually, to win it all, yeah. And one of them, Loyola. How in the world you come up with that?
Well, Clayton Custer is a guy from Kansas City. We don't cover Kansas City, but you hear people talking about him. So I turned it on to watch them a couple times this year and was incredibly impressed with their ball movement, but also incredibly impressed with their win-loss record, which nobody talks about that anymore because athletic directors have nothing to do with win-loss records. Players have everything to do with win-loss records. But in college sports, administrators rig everything so that they have the power and the players are just the pawns. So strength of schedule is what determines who gets good seeds and all that. It's got nothing to do with winning on the court and losing on the court. Well, with Clayton Custer healthy, he missed like four games. Loyola lost two games. I don't care who you're playing. It's a Division I schedule. It's hard to win games. And the way you survive and advance is by winning games. So they know how to win. They play together. And also, I did it so that I could point out that Porter Moser was once fired by Shane Zenger, who has not fired Kansas's 3-33 football coach.
A lot of love for administrators on your side of the phone there, Tom. I love it. Almost feels like these players ought to be paid for what they do. Anyway, Bill Self, it's been characterized by a lot of people that Bill Self has had his one of his best runs as a coach. I wonder if you agree with that sentiment and what this team, what that Kansas team might be like so as to necessitate folks writing that Bill Self has had one of his best runs.
I do agree with that, and he's had a lot of great runs. When in 2005 and 2006, he had three starters were freshmen and two were sophomores, and they tied Texas for the Big 12 title and then won the conference tournament. Texas was absolutely loaded. That was a great run, although they lost to Bradley in the first round, so it wasn't a great tournament run. In 2012, they didn't have any McDonald's All-Americans on that team, and they made it all the way to the title game. That was a great run. But this is a great run. Billy Preston, who was probably their most talented guy, never got to play because there was a problem with who provided the money to buy that car. We never did figure that out, but he never played. So he had to reinvent the team without him, and he had to go with four guards and one big man, only one point guard, Devontae Graham, and only one true big man, Udoka Azubuike, until Silvio De Sousa joins the team from high school in mid-semester, so they had to work him in. There's just been not as much depth as you usually have and not as much front court talent as he usually has. He always does a great job. I think a great coach is a great coach, but this was just the unlikeliest of Final Four runs of his three Final Four runs in 2012 wasn't that likely.
So what do they have to do to win one more game and get to the championship?
They've got to hit their threes, and Loyola is, Villanova is tough defensively. They're got some big guards. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I think that Villanova's favored for a reason. It's a difficult matchup for Kansas. When the pairings came out, I thought Duke could probably come out of that. And then I watched Duke play live, and I didn't see as much college spirit in Duke as I see in Kansas with Graham. So I switched my pick there, and I had a feeling Kansas was going to beat them, but I haven't had that feeling yet about Villanova. This is a tough, tough game. That DiVincenzo is tremendous. When Booth got hurt, he had an even bigger role, and that might have helped, just like when Udoka Azubuike got hurt. Silvio De Sousa had a bigger role, and he answered the challenge. So sometimes injuries can help your team in the long run.
Tom, we talked yesterday with Loyola assistant coach Matt Gordon. I've been kind of interested all around college basketball, maybe more at the mid-major level, about how coaches and programs bring in transfers and how they affect the program. It seems more and more that that's a game. That's a recruiting game that they've got to play. Kansas is a different outfit altogether. They can, although you mentioned not a lot of McDonald's All-Americans in the last couple of years, but certainly that's a blue-blood program that brings in anybody they want. Still, Malik Newman, a transfer from Mississippi State, if I remember correctly, goes off in the overtime against Duke, gets things done. How's Bill Self worked the transfer game, and has it been any different over the last 2-3 years or so?
Well, he has a bunch of them sitting out this year, so yeah, he has kept up with that change in college basketball. And when you don't get who you want out of high school, you have openings, you go after the transfers. So he has changed in that regard. And I remember I took a theory of coaching class back at Marquette in 1980. It was either the fall of 80 or the spring of 81. I think the fall of 80, because then I took theory of coaching track in the spring. I had a real tough... I got a B in the theory of coaching track. But anyway,
true sports writers college transcript has lots of sports coaching. Lots of sports coaching classes on it.
My first class was at noon as a senior, so
it's a little early, isn't it, Tom?
I enjoyed the nightlife.
I took coaching baseball, coaching basketball, coaching badminton. I took as many as I could find.
Anyway, Majerus was just fascinating, a fascinating guy. And I remember him saying about, if I had a chance to talk to Porter Moser, I'll ask him about this. But he said, I love transfers because they have nowhere to go. You've got them. They have to change for you. Now, today with the graduate transfer rule, you see some players play for three different schools. But Majerus was kind of ahead of the curve on transfers. He knew that, the first coach, you know, you don't have to do what he says. You don't have to do what Ben Howland says. You can just transfer and see if you can get away with doing that stuff with Bill Self, you know. And, well, he couldn't. He actually got benched for about 4 or 5 games in terms of not starting. And he came around. What Self does, he'll take a B player and he'll harp on his weaknesses. And the kid's head is spinning. He turns into a C player. Then he stops fighting him. And before you know it, he's an A player, which is what Newman is now. So players tend to get worse before they get better. But then they realize in the end that all those words they hear violate their ears ended up turning him into an A player, and they're fine with it.
He's Tom Keegan from the Lawrence Journal World in Kansas. Right now he's in San Antonio getting ready for the Final Four, and it sounds like you think it's going to be tough for Kansas to beat Villanova. No shock there. Can Loyola beat Michigan, and who are your final two teams?
I think I would favor Michigan just because they're a little bigger and probably a little better, but a Kansas-Loyola final at this stage wouldn't shock me, but I would go chalk here in both matchups. The interesting thing about this Final Four, we're so used to prominent college basketball coaches who just are kind of impressed with themselves, and you know, you kind of have to sit there at their press conferences and bring a barf bag in case they really just make you sick listening to them. This is the good guys' coaches' Final Four. Think about these four guys. John Beilein, tremendous guy. My late brother George knew John Beilein because their sons played basketball together when Beilein was a coach at Canisius. You can tell he's the same guy he always was. Self's the same guy he always was. Haven't had the pleasure of meeting Porter Moser, but I heard he's a great guy. Dan McGrath told me that, the former Chicago Tribune Marquette graduate Dan McGrath. Sure. And the other coach, Jay Wright, is as nice a coach as you can possibly want to meet. So that's going to be really cool. And any of the four teams who win it all, you got to feel good for the coach because they're all good guys.
Tom, it kind of sounds that you, like me, have some distaste for the upper levels of college basketball, perhaps in the AD's office, perhaps the coaching office. I wonder what you think of the pending FBI investigation, the pending charges against a couple of big programs throughout basketball, and whether there's teeth to that, whether those teeth are going to be blunted some by the NCAA itself, and what kind of changes we might be in store for after they cut down the nets.
You know, changes are real hard because every idea you come up with, there's a counter to it. I like the idea of somehow paying the players or letting them, maybe make money off their autographs as long as you cap it and stuff, because you've got some pathetic boosters out there who'd rather give the money to the college basketball programs than their own children. If you say, let's give them money for their autographs, well, okay, you better put a cap on how much each autograph, because there's some boosters out there who'd pay $100,000 for an autograph just to make sure if you come to school A, you're going to get $100,000 every time you sign an autograph. That's an exaggeration, obviously. But, you know, you don't want an out-and-out bidding war, but I'd like to see something set up for them. And Title IX makes it tough, too, because they're going to say, well, we need that, too, but, you know, fine, let the women's basketball players get what they can for autographs, too. It might not be quite the same, though.
Tom, thanks for your time. Jerry Goff says hello. And don't forget, 10 o'clock curfew every night for you in San Antonio.
Yeah, I actually get to bed a lot earlier than I did when I was at Marquette.
Well, that's good. Good for your health.
Not surprised by that. Take care, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks.
Tom Keegan of the Lawrence Journal World. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Keegan LJW. Segment brought to you by Walgreens. Hop right around the corner to Walgreens to fill your baskets with Easter must-haves like candy favorites, grass, plastic egg, and toys. You'll find great deals and finish your Easter shopping in one trip at Walgreens. Barry, the Masters is around the corner. Sure, we've got to do this whole Houston Open thing, but the excitement around Tiger the last couple of weekends has been palpable. Armin Katayan is going to join us at 10:40 to talk a bit about his new book, and we'll stay Tiger-centric then. But you and I have a chance to preview the Masters for a little bit here and take a look at where and exactly how you're going to make a few dollars, I suppose, over the next 2 weeks. We'll get a little golf in us next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.